Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 140, 10 from 150. You can do the math. I'm Kevin Lurvy. And with me, back from his hiatus, he went on vacation to the Netherlands. It's Jonathan Fass of acceleratedstrength.com. What's up, John?
The Netherlands, yes.
How was it?
It was fun. Went out with my cousin and his friends from Brooklyn, and we all went camping and rafting. if you can imagine it, that hilarity like that, it was a good time.
Very cool. And we also have Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. What's up, boy? How's it going, Lee?
I'm good.
Did that good. 20 minutes of off topic wake you up?
I don't think so. But, you know, I'm rolling with it anyway.
Awesome. Yeah. Very good stuff. Okay. The first thing we want to talk about is, if they haven't already, checking out Lee's podcast, Ask Lee. Lee, what's been going on with that? I know you just had another one come out earlier this week.
I did. It's going good. It's fun because I get to talk about everything, anything that I want to talk about. And so it's fun.
Talked about sex again.
I did, and you know what's funny is when I was talking about the sex, you know, and I was
like, can't wait to see.
It's not gonna come out right. I was gonna go there, and I realized that it's not. There's no way I can save it now.
We all know what you're gonna say, Lee.
Yeah,
it's okay.
You know, I think about you the whole time, and there it is.
Long list, regular listeners to the show know what that's a reference to. So,
yeah,
there's a reference to sex.
Mostly boobs, though, John.
Boobs. But yeah, it's just I talk about a lot of things, and it's fun, and maybe I'll get an actual scientific information bit in there every once in a while. But it's cool. I just recorded my next one yesterday, and there was a little bit more actual detail of how to help someone lose fat, I think, in there, instead of talking about relationships. I'm going to become freaking Delilah. I don't know if that's like an America thing there. That might just be a local thing here. She's like a talk show thing, kind of like Sleepless in Seattle. Yeah.
I heard there was a song about her on the radio. That's about it.
Yeah.
The next thing I want to talk about is, I've been getting messages from people who are mad about their RSS feeds and their feed burners and all this stuff, that they don't like having three feeds for three websites. So, I'm just going to start posting the destination app stuff back on the fitcast.com because I like making your lives easier. DestinationApps.com will still be there, but I'll still be posting the weekly updates at thefitcast.com. There'll be a new one on Tuesday. We are, kind of changing things up this week a little bit with that, as I more or less I need to have someone to tell me to deload and to take a week off from training, or I'll never do it. So thanks for doing that, Lee. And we'll talk about more of that later. We have a winner for the Lift Strong Dan John book promotion, and you know what? I'm gonna be completely honest with you, the listeners out there. I was pretty disappointed in how many submissions we got for this. I don't want to sound like a crazy dude, but we only had 5 submissions, so we were able to sell 5 more copies of Lift Strong, and this is something that pretty much all the money goes to charity, and more or less it was just like donate $25 to Leukemia Lymphoma Society. And I was hoping we could sell some more copies because it's a great cause. And, just this past week they celebrated Luke Gehrig's, life and, in the Major League Baseball. And, I think I think, you know, if we can, if we have the opportunity to do something good, we really should. I know it's a hard time and people are you know, really watching where they spend their money, but you know, I'm a firm believer. My parents have really, you know, put into me that if you're in the position where you can kind of give a little bit and help some people out, you should definitely do that. And but we do have a winner for this week. It's Jill Bixby. So Jill, I'm going to be sending you out a copy of the book, and I want to run this for one more week, and it's going to be the same stipulations. And everyone who already submitted their name for this upcoming week, you will also be able to get back into this. So I'm going to put your names back into the hat. It wasn't hard throwing in five names in a hat, so I'm just going to hold on to them for next week. But this is how I want to change it up. You know, starting today, which is July 5th, we'll give you again until next Sunday. And this is what I want. You can either pick up Lift Strong and get something out of it. You're basically getting a ton of educational information. You're getting more or less hundreds of hours of content. And you also be donating to a good cause. Or, you know what, if you figure you don't want to go and get a CD or you already have it, this is what I want you to do. I just want you $25 to any charity, foundation, something like the Michael J. Fox Foundation. I'm a huge fan. I had a grandmother who had Parkinson's, and I think that would be a great cause to help out. Leukemia Lymphoma Society, you know, anyone that, if you have any personal ties and you like giving money to a certain charity, that's awesome. I just think we should, if we can, you know, on a time it's where the economy isn't great, if we can do something good for someone else or another group of people, we should really try to do that. So that's what I want to do. Just $25 to any charity organization, and I'm going to sweeten up the deal that I will also throw in a T-shirt to the winner for next week's show, and Jill, you'll get a T-shirt as well. So Jill, when you email me, make sure you just give me your T-shirt size as well. I really think this is a little bit of a small forum where we can do a little bit of good. So let's try it to see if we can do something for next week. I want 20 submissions for next week. That's my goal. We have an audience of about 5,000 people. You know, let's just see if we can do a little something. And I'll
now can I throw something in there?
Yeah.
My friend Donna, the barbecue that I went to yesterday for July 4th was actually a fundraising event for our friend Donna, because she was just diagnosed with breast cancer. So we were raising money for her, and they're doing, all the girls are doing the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer. So if we could throw that link up in the show notes, we'll have something that you guys can give to. We could put up a whole bunch of links, actually, but
definitely.
That's my friend Nalon's team for Donna. So it's Team Donna is what they're is the name of their group. So
yeah, John, if you just send me the link on Skype or something, I'll throw it in the show notes.
Done.
I got it. Wow, that was quick.
That was lightning fast.
Thank you.
Lightning. It's almost
cute.
Yeah. The next thing I want to quickly mention is that, you know, for the last couple months, or it seems like since the beginning of the show, we've kind of had a request for a frequently asked questions section of the show, or maybe segments that we can put together into what some people do as like an episode zero, like the stuff you should already know or that we've kind of covered in the past. So you don't have to email us about, you know, how much creatine should I take? Should I load it? Things like that. So I just want to throw it out there to the listeners. Let us know what you think. Is that something that you want as like a segment on the show? John and I have talked about doing some like around the horn kind of segments where mm-hmm. We get a bunch of experts together and we just kind of, you have like a topic. Let's talk about it. There's no questions. It's just a topic and you go from there, which is hard due to scheduling, but we'll see what we can do. Last but not least, FitCast Forum. It kept crashing for like the last 3 days, and it has been taken down, and I'm going to try to fix it, and then it will be back up. So if you can't get into the forum, that is why. That's a lot of Ficast news. You guys ready to get into the mailbag?
Ready to rock and roll.
Do you want to take a break? Should we just keep going?
I have no opinion.
First email comes from Shari. That was our break. Hi, Kevin, Lee, Dr. J, and Tony. Yeah. Hey, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Wait, hi.
Should we see if we can get him on the line? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, guys, I just thought of something that I would love to see on the show, maybe weekly or monthly. I'm sure others would love this, too. Could maybe the four of you take turns each week or whatever, sharing your favorite recipe or snack idea? By the way, I found this kick-butt cake, cakey meringue. Did I say that right?
Meringue.
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 I can't say things properly, John.
I know. That's why you curse.
Actually, the whole... No, I'm just kidding. Insert link. It's at eatoxygen.blogspot.com. It is huge. I put PB2 at the end or some natural peanut butter. And it is awesome. Thanks. Keep up the fun of the show. I'm a huge fan. What do you guys think? Should we share like a recipe or a snack every week?
We could do that.
We can do that. I could do that. I can do that right now.
Do it.
Put me on the spot.
Drop it.
You know?
Drop it like
right.
It's hot lid.
I'll drop it. You know, right now I'm really hungry. Okay, I'm really hungry. I haven't eaten yet. Kevin puts us through torture in the morning time, and you know, I won't be able to eat until 5 hours from now. But when I do eat, I am going to have one of my favorite snacks, which is these Wasa crackers. Have you guys seen these Wasa crackers?
No.
I don't think they're actual food. No, but they're like massive amounts of fiber, right? They're like 40 calories for this huge long slab of cracker. I mean,
how do you spell
it? Massive. Wasa. And you can get them at like any regular. I've seen them at every grocery store I go to, but they're kind of tricky to find. They're like always like on the very like bottom shelf, and they're amongst like a bunch of really delicious things that you probably should stay away from, trying not to overeat. But they're there. And they're really, really good. There's all these different kinds of them. There's like rye, there's multigrain, there's like high fiber or some stuff like that. But I like the light rye ones. And what I do is I take and I like cut up like a lot of chicken, some garlic hummus on that cracker. And it is just so good. It is so good. It's really, really quick. It's high in protein, very low in carbs, lots of fiber. You can't beat it. Can't beat it. It's absolutely delish. Delish.
Garlic hummus. Don't mess with the Zohan. Hummus.
Is there an accent?
That was my favorite.
Can't do? Like, really?
What?
Really?
Probably not. I'd like all the listeners.
Shoot.
I'd like all the listeners right now to pause the FitCast and rewind back to where Kevin was choking. And then when he tried to join the conversation, when he's like, no, because he was still choking. That was hysterical. Did you pick up on that, Lee?
I missed it, and it I can't like, rewind, so I'm sad
it was,
now.
Yeah, it was epic, like Tony's.
I think
know,
it's because I watched Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey last night.
He's like, no, yeah, it was pretty funny.
Bogus. We forgot to talk about the neckline slimmer guys.
Oh, we did. Don't mess with this, Ohan. Hummus. I don't have time for this guy. Hummus.
Okay, no.
I love that movie. I just watched it like 20 times this week.
Hey, Lee, I got a question for you. I have a question about the benefits and drawbacks of using a juicer for vegetables.
You were actually like talking to me.
I bought a very good juicer about 4 years ago on clearance and has just sat on the shelf for about 3 years. I started juicing fruits, but come to the conclusion that I would rather eat the whole fruit since it would make me fuller, and I felt like I was wasting money and nutrients by throwing out some of the pulp. Now, I have a hard time getting in 3 to 5 servings of vegetables each day, but could easily drink a glass of carrot broccoli juice. I know that eating them raw would be the best choice, but where does juicing stand in the nutrition world? I love the off-topic subjects. When Aragon said his buddy's porno name was Tom Screws, I about lost it. Mine would be Johnny Deep. Like Johnny Depp. Thanks, Jonathan. From Jonathan Wiles. Johnny Deep.
Johnny Deep, that's funny.
That's the Queen, right? So, Lee, what can we do?
Well, there's different takes on juicing. You know, whenever you juice something, you are going to lose the fiber. And there's been, I only found like one study that really analyzed, and granted, I did not look at this for like an extremely amount of time, so I might even come back next week and say, oh yeah, I found a lot. But in a very short look, I only found one study that had any sort of suggestion that there could be a lot of nutrients within the shell that, you know, did not come basically, you know, out into the juicing. And but, you know, you get like a lot of pulp as well. So I think that there's probably not really an issue there. If anything, it seems that the nutrients are kind of more. You're going to get more of the nutrients because you're going to get multiple vegetables into one, you know, carrier. That being said, these nutrients are really sensitive. And it, usually the vitamins and things that you find in juices are very delicate. When air hits them and they're kind of exposed, if you will, they start to degrade in their potency. So you can't like juice and then store it for a period of time, you know, out. It really needs to be handled very carefully. So if you're going to juice, it needs to be one of those things that you just do it very quickly. You know, and I mean, it doesn't have to be like juice drink, but you know, like, you know, juice it and then drink it within, you know, a short period of time after you've done it. That way you can assure that you're getting like, you know, your best chance at getting your nutrients in. As far as if there's one that's healthier, I mean, basically you're not getting the fiber, you know. Other than that, I can't really see any, you know, like it's bad or anything. I personally am not a fan of drinking my calories unless I have a lot to go around. So if you're in a deficit, and you know, I don't always think that it's the best thing. There's definitely issues with, you know, satiation and things like that. So look at what you're needing it for. If you, hey, I just want to, you know, get some, you know, vegetables in or some juice in, and I have the calories to go around and I'm in the mood for it, then great. If you're on kind of a more restrictive diet and there's not like a lot of calories to go around, you may want to choose a different option just simply because you're probably going to be left hungrier and not as satisfied. So that's about it though.
Very cool. Lee, you got a question for John?
Oh, am I supposed to read things? It doesn't say that on my document.
Oh, well, okay. I just did it 5 minutes before we did the show.
Okay, that's why I don't know. Okay, John.
Oh, wait, never mind. I changed the order of questions, so I'm going to read it. John, it is quite possible you have met a lot of my crew over the years as trainers. You know us as the midlifters that defined a bulky phase as, quote, rounding the middle and or the lower middle. Now that we lift, push, pull, drag, and heave, we see that Hollywood glow in our future. This is the weirdest email ever. Is there a handful of conditions that a midlifter can use as end
lifer, goals? Lifer. You screwed it up the first time and I didn't call you on it. Midlifer.
Can use as end goals such as, quote, X percentage of body weight deadlifted 5 times or X number of push-ups in a row. In other words, is there some state that we can achieve that one could use as a definition of fit as defined by strong and lean? Thanks, Vinny.
No. Vinny took the time to write the letter.
What
take
up,
the
Vinny?
Time to read it correctly. Hey, what's up, Vinny?
Sorry, Vin.
You know, it's an interesting question. A lot of times you see that, like, usually once a year, a lot of the, you know, men's health, men's fitness, whatever, they come out with this, like, you know, article on define yourself fit, you know, and it's so many push-ups, so many pull-ups, you can deadlift this amount, you can run this amount, and they just, they're kind of arbitrary. I mean, I don't really know what goes into determining what they've decided as being fit, because there are so many different, I mean, the definition of fitness, I mean, there kind of is no definition. It's basically whatever you want to achieve. So what I tend to kind of throw out there for people is, I'll define fitness as, what are your goals and are you able to achieve those goals in a reasonable, you know, amount of time, or reasonable, you know, something that might be considered above average. So if you want to run a mile, are you able to run a mile with, you know, with good conditioning, without feeling exhausted at the end, at, like, you could run another half mile and you'd be fine. If you are interested in a certain weight for the deadlift, are you able to achieve that weight with good form? You know, whatever the case may be. So if we look at, like, midlife, there are a couple of health issues that come up, generally speaking, when we hit our midlife. We're talking about, you know, somewhere 40 and above, I guess 40 to 50 would be considered midlife. So we've got cardiac issues like hypertension that start to come up. We've got diabetes, osteoporosis or osteopenia, arthritis, and of course obesity. So those are the major health issues that we find when we get midlife. So I would start there, actually. Am I, you know, what's my bone density like? What's my blood sugar levels like? What is my fat percentage like? You know, am I maybe 12 to 15%, which would be a very good body fat percentage for anyone, let alone someone that's in their 40s or 50s. And then from there, what are your activity goals? You know, what do you like to do recreationally? Do you play golf? Do you are you in a softball league at work or something? Do you rock climb or do you swim? Whatever it is that you may do recreationally, focus on those things to see that you can do those, you know, in a efficiently, so that you can enjoy those activities rather than suffering through them. You know, that might be one consideration of fitness. As far as hard numbers, though, I don't really have those. Once we go to the what is defining good health, I think hard numbers are just your own personal goals. You know, what do you want to achieve? So, but I'm sure you could probably look something up online, and there's probably some kind of arbitrary, you know, fitness article out there that you could find. And if you want a goal that way, then more power to you. That's fine too.
The next question, John, I believe you have for Lee.
I do. Hi, I am contacting you as a new listener from Manchester, England. Actually, Kevin, do you want to read this in your English
accent?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, I'm contacting you as a new listener from Manchester, England. Fantastic show and great listening while commuting to and from work. Can you tell me about benefits? Hold on, I can't hear myself. Hold on. Can you tell me about the benefits of taking glutamine as a supplement? Many thanks, Nigel. Manchester United up 1-0.
Oh my God. Get a man, you.
The whole show, you talk like that. The whole show.
Where's posh spice?
Okay.
Soccer.
Football. Football.
Yeah, you can't say soccer. You can't say,
hey, let's go to a football game and listen to Clash.
Clash.
I did my best. I can't hear myself, so I don't know what I sound like.
Oh, thank you. You're a lucky man for that. Very fortunate.
Sorry to my English.
If I'm
listeners.
Having like a low moment in life, I'm just going to play that over and over again, and I will no longer be low. Okay. The benefits of taking glutamine. There's been a lot of research on glutamine, and yeah, there's been little areas that have dove into endurance work or in fat loss work, and a lot of times when people inquire to me anyway about glutamine, they're kind of asking about it in those aspects. I would say that they're not really overly conclusive. There is some stuff to show that glutamine could maybe aid with the connect the dot aspect of fat loss, but at the end of the day, it's going to be, you know, the deficit anyway. But there are some weird benefits. For example, there's some stuff that kind of links to the fact that glutamine might help make you a little less sick. And when you start your like dieting down phase, you feel the effects of it a little bit less, things like that. It can kind of help aid in weird little things. It's an amino acid. What I usually like to talk about glutamine's effects for is for gut health. And that's where, in my opinion, the research has really shined. There is some stuff that shows for immune systems, but a lot of that has to do with people that are sick. How much that that's going to help you if you're, you know, if you're not sick, I don't know. And there's really not a lot that's been looked at in that aspect. If you're sick, like if you're dealing with any sort of kind of ongoing illness or you know, disease, you might find that glutamine helps you with better immune function to take it. Dosage really varies. It can range anything from, you know, 10 to 15 grams upwards to like 30, depending on what you need it for. But usually what I like to discuss glutamine for is for gut health. There's a lot of research that shows that it helps with gut repair and with helping aid in, you know, helping the digestive system, even things all the way up to leaky gut syndrome. There's links that show that it can help aid in that better. So if you're having any sort of digestive issues, if you have issues with, you know, constipation or IBS, leaky gut, you have a hard time tolerating things in general. There's been some things that I've had people that have had a hard time digesting things or, you know, they were quote unquote intolerant or something, and they started putting glutamine in their diet mixed with something as simple as like Activia, like just a combination of like those two things. And the good bacteria and the glutamine helped with healing gut health. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can attribute gut health to. It's certainly not a one-shot fix all kind of thing, but if you're having issues with your digestive system, I think that it's a good thing to throw in there. And you know, you can start out with, you know, 15 grams, 10 grams, 15 grams, see how you feel and kind of, you know, progress from there. And but yeah, usually I like to stout it or discuss glutamine on a level of just for gut health for the normal person, because you can be not sick, but, you know, have gut issues and it still help you. Whereas with other things, with immune system function or things like that, or in endurance athletes, it's if you're having issues with performance or how you feel. So there it is. Can I even human. Be heard? Right? Am I supposed to ask something? I can't see the document.
You can't see the document?
No, like I can't see it right now. So I can't read anything.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
I'm trying to refresh, but I can't see anything.
I wonder what happened. I think Kevin ran off to use the bathroom or something.
I muted myself because I was adjusting my headset. My fault. The question's from Melissa. Hi, guys. Since I know you love funny gym stories, the other day at my gym, a chain commercial gym, I saw the master trainer having an overweight middle-aged woman doing overhead presses with 5-pound weights while walking on the treadmill on an incline. As though that weren't enough, he has her go on to do overhead press static holds, lateral raise static holds, and to top off a well-rounded workout, tricep kickbacks. All of this while on the treadmill at an incline. Anywho, on to my question. I've seen several coaches stress the importance of a training partner. However, as a female who lifts weights, it is hard to find like-minded. Most of my friends think lifting higher than 12 pounds will turn them into Miss Olympia. And girls in my gym only leave the treadmill to go to 100 crunches. Any tips for females on finding a training partner? As always, great work on the podcast. Despite the occasional gratuity and fails, you guys are always on it, whether it's off topic or not. So Lee, you know, you're a woman.
I am.
You know, female training partners, you know, what's up with that?
I think, you know, it's really a question. Like, you're almost asking, like, where can I find friends? You know, I mean, it's not easy to find people that have your like same mindset and like-minded attitude. Make it even harder when you're dealing with a social taboo such as, you know, lifting weights aggressively as a female. It's not easy. It's not easy to find a training partner as a female. What I recommend is, I mean, there's tons of things you can do. There's meetup.com. You can put up a thing about a like in your area, you can post up, you know, a women's lifting group And, you know, I'd like to meet with people who are interested in discussing lifting that are female. And that might call out some people, you know, and you can meet at like, you know, coffee shops during the day or whatever and talk. And then later, you know, hook up like training times. That's one thing you can do. There are like dating services or matchmake services, things like that. And you don't have to do them for just dating. You can do them for friendships, you know, match.com, things like that. People post up stuff for training partners. I know that some of my clients have done that themselves. Because, you know, you can't have a personal trainer all the time, and but you'd like have people like push you around and you know, egg you on and stuff like that. And that's good. So you can do that. And then, of course, if you're in the gym and you see another female, don't be afraid to approach her and discuss with her, you know, hey, like maybe can I work in your set, you know, like and just, you know, be complimentary, be nice and be like, you know, I'd really like having someone to work out with, or, you know, is that something you're interested in? You can put up a post on like a bulletin board at your gym. You know, I'm looking for a training partner. Really put down what you want. You could, you know, so there's so many things that you can do. And in that aspect, I think that you might find the best chance of getting online. Oh, and there's also Cassandra Forsyth, I think, started the group. I don't know if she started it, but I know that she's definitely a member of it. It's on Facebook. I'll see if I can get the link, but it's Women Like to Lift Heavy or something like that, or Here's Women Lifting Heavy. And I think she might have a New Rules of Lifting for Women group too. But you never know. There could be someone in that group that's in your area. Join it, and you know, it can help kind of network with that. Just get out and network. Network in ways that are a little outside of your normal box of where you live. You know, that might help.
Very cool. The next question that we have comes from Dylan. This is for John. I'm not going to start off by giving you my height, weight, and other measurements, eventually asking you for an exercise prescription after my 400 words. Instead, I'll ask a quick question that may be interesting and or beneficial to other listeners. Dylan, don't call out our listeners like that. I'm doing my senior project on barefoot resistance training. I can't seem to find any articles, like actual peer-reviewed articles on barefoot resistance training or legit research done on the topic, not just Joe Iron Plumber giving me an endless list of theoretical possibilities and anecdotal evidence. However, there are tons of articles on barefoot running. My question is whether you know of any research articles on barefoot resistance training, or there are some commonalities we can carry over between barefoot running and barefoot resistance training, like the ground reaction force. Also, any direction or directions you can point me in would be extremely helpful. You guys are hilarious. Dylan, word count, 171.
That's excellent.
You're a pro, Dylan.
He's absolutely right. There's a lot of evidence and research behind barefoot running, and I have not found anything on barefoot resistance training. Not that I did some kind of exhaustive look into the research, but it's pretty difficult to find. It's very hard to carry over any of that information too, because running versus static resistance training is just two completely different topics. So trying to, you know, take the research on running and applying it to, you know, squats and deadlifts or something is going to be pretty difficult to do. And primarily, I think the major difference that you'll find in resistance training is going to be the change in the biomechanical lever, because you're not elevated on a shoe. I mean, I think that's why a lot of people talk about weightlifting and Chuck Taylors or something like that, because you really are trying to find a minimal amount of height on the heel and compressive force wasted through a heel. That's why Olympic weightlifters have a solid, rigid wooden bottom on their shoes, so that you don't lose any of your force through a compressive heel. So that's going to be difficult. It might be out there, but I don't know of it. I wish I could help you more. I did do a quick search, but I didn't come up with anything either. The one quick thing, just as long as we're talking about barefoot running, there is some pretty good evidence to suggest that it might be a good idea. And there's certainly – I mean, there's evidence for and against, but I would always caution anyone that's preparing to make a major change in their weight training or their running or whatever, their exercise in general. Something like barefoot running, even if it's a good idea, you still have to break into it, because it's just like anything else. I know a lot of times people kind of, no pun intended, run with a good idea. So they say, oh, barefoot running. This looks promising. I'll go out and I'll buy those, you know, naked shoes, those like foot, you know, created shoes, wherever they are. And then they go out and they run their regular routine and they end up with horrible foot, knee, and ankle pain because they're not adapted to that kind of running because they've been running in sneakers for 10, 20, 30 years of their lives. So for anyone that is considering doing this, there may be some long-term advantages to running barefoot, or at least, you know, running in minimally constructed shoes that they make nowadays, but you still have to build yourself into that, which means that maybe you buy them and you just walk around your house for the first couple of days or week to get yourself used to it, and then maybe take a very short jog the next day and build up into that, because otherwise you do too much too soon and you're just going to be in a world of hurt. And I've actually treated patients that did just that. They bought shoes, they went running for their normal run, and they couldn't walk the next day or the next week, and I had to come into physical therapy to fix them. So be cautious when you make major changes to your training routine.
Nice.
Very cool. The next question that we have comes from AJ for Lee. Hey, who am I? Female, 23 years old. I am 5'5", 138 pounds. I've lost 15 pounds so far and have a couple more to go. What? I have read this in Oxygen magazines and was told by two different people that one should not have cold water after a meal. Is that true? I drink 2 cups of cold water after food to feel full, since I measure my food prior and train my stomach to get used to it, and B, I just get really thirsty. Certain magazines state that warm water is okay, but not cold for after meals. It's true. Hold on, I'm having a hard time reading this. I know these are lame. This is a lame question, but I am close to my goal and need to tweak everything I can. P.S. You guys are hilarious. You should start the Off Topic Rants podcast. Find it funny always. I like Star Trek, but not a Call of Duty fan. Love Gears of War 2 and set. I think she's actually my friend on Xbox Live. I see there's a female listeners. Contacted me on there, but holy! Are they really writing about this in magazines? I'll edit that out.
You know, actually, this is a myth that will not die. Believe it. Like I get asked this question like all the time. So when I saw it, I was like, really? It just won't die. It won't die. I don't know where it even came from. I didn't investigate where it came from, but it's based around the theory is that the water is going to impede your digestive system and you're not going to be able to digest as well because it's going to kill the what did I read that was so funny? It said something like it was going to kill the proficiency of your enzyme function.
What?
And yeah, and it's just so wrong. It's so wrong. Drinking fluids with your meals is in no way going to cause any sort of issue with your digestive system. It's not going to happen. Let's figure out why this could possibly have, I don't know. You know, there is some, I think one thing I've read that said that there was a lag. You know, there's when we eat in general, there's a lag between our stomachs and digestive and then the signaling of like full, you know, so you should eat slower because, you know, the satiation signals are going to take a little bit of time to pick up. I mean, it's nothing weird or kooky. It's just a natural thing. You know, you eat really, really fast and there's just not enough time for your body to kind of process what's going on and send the signals of, hey, stop that. So, some people have said that it could stop and halt that. It doesn't. Then there's some people say that it slows the metabolism down because your body won't be as hot. I think that one's really funny. But funny enough that it could be – it's not that drinking cold water could speed up thermogenesis, but there are some studies that give the small lingering thought that drinking cold water could maybe burn like a few extra calories versus drinking like warm or lukewarm water. So, but I mean, but to say that it would slow down is ridiculous. If it was going to lean towards a direction, it would probably lean towards a little bit faster, even if it's so minute that we couldn't really measure it very well. Yeah, I'll end it there, but it's just the myth that will not die, and there's absolutely no relevance to it whatsoever. And anyway, shape or form.
I drink cold water because it tastes better than warm water.
Yeah, I like cold water.
Big fan.
I think there's also, I'm trying to remember back to physiology, but I think there's chemoreceptors and with drinking cold liquid signals the body that you're actually drinking. So they've looked at differences in attainment of satiation of mm-hmm. cold water versus room temperature, and people can drink more if it's warm, but I could be totally making that up.
I think that I know what you're talking about, and I do think that you can drink more when it's warm. I don't remember though. I don't remember if the outcome was different on the satiation levels though.
I don't know.
I think the quantity was like you could drink more quantity, but I don't remember what the outtake on the actual thing was. Yeah. And to be honest, the whole thing's a little blurry. I'd be probably lying. But yeah, it's just the myth that will not die, you know, and then people scared of drinking cold water in general. I mean, that was a chain email that passed around forever, you know, like drinking cold water was going to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't drink water, guys. It will kill you.
Yeah. You know, so. And do I get the next question?
I think we only have one left.
I just thought I would do it. I just thought I would do it.
Yeah, do it from Boris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, from, yeah, that's, you know, hey, why not? This is to John. Hey, guys and gal of the FitCast. Thank you for the work that you put into the podcast. It makes for hilarious learning experience. Last week's discussion of the state of the fitness industry is another fine example of the brilliance of your collective minds. I like Boris. Hopefully this is the start of a widespread evaluation and improvement of the industry. Before I get into my question, I have to let you know, Kevin, that thanks to your video of Tony Gentilcore is an international phenomenon. Last week I saw a guy in the gym in Sydney, Australia doing explosive calf raises off a block of the Smith machine with a belt on.
Naturally with a belt on.
Tony's changing lives, dude.
Changing lives. So to the question. For the past year, my training programs have been starting strength, practical programming based with squats, benches, rows, and deadlift ad nauseum. Recently, a peculiar problem in my squatting has appeared. I squat with a shoulder width stance and below parallel, faithful to the starting strength model. In the concentric phase, I sometimes find that my right heel comes slightly off the ground, while my left one is firmly planted. I am right-handed and right-footed, and to my knowledge, I don't favor one side over the other. On the contrary, I get a lot of comments from powerlifters in a gym that my form is textbook. Any avenues to look into would be appreciated. Thanks, Boris.
You know, that basic, you know, kind of painting that picture makes it sound like you are rotating a little bit or that you are pushing off. Either pushing off the left heel or pushing off the right toe, and usually it's the right toe. So normally if we see any kind of strength imbalance one side to the other, it's especially, you know, in like a squat, you'll find that people will try to push off the toe because that'll help them utilize the quad strength a little bit more than like the posterior strength. So there may be some kind of rotation going around. Now that could be coming from anywhere. It may not even necessarily be an imbalance in the lower body, although usually that would obviously be the first place to look. But you may be rotated a little bit in your upper body for some reason. And if that's the case, then you may be changing the relative position of the weight and therefore changing the way that your lower body is reacting in order to utilize the weight on top. And it may be very subtle. It may not be something that's overtly obvious, you know, where someone might be able to not be able to come over and say, oh, look, you're pushing off of here because of this, this, and that. It may be something, you know, minimal where people aren't picking up, including yourself. The only thing that I would really recommend without being able to see you is just to be more focused and aware of the heel of the right foot and make sure that you are pushing through that right foot, even if it means kind of increasing your attention there and making sure that you almost begin the movement with the right foot and let the left foot come along. The thing is this, that whatever's occurring, we may not need to figure out the reason why. We may just need to figure out how to fix it, and then the fix is probably pretty easy there. Lower the weight a little bit too and see if that happens in a low weight position, if you know, almost like a warm-up, or does it happen closer to your rep max? Because if it does, then that might be more indicative of a strength imbalance. If it happens on your lower weight as well, then there's an issue with your form or your center of gravity, and you could just take it from there. But otherwise, you know, almost in a sense, don't worry about why it's happening, because I wouldn't be able to answer that and you may not be able to answer it. But if you can maybe use a stretch band to improve the position of the feet, maybe use some lower weights to really be able to focus and reclaim your form, then I think you should be fine no matter what the problem is.
Nice.
Good luck to you, Boris.
Was that Russian?
Yeah, you know, it's my golden eye.
The fizzy bubbly. You want the fizzy bubbly? I have the fizzy bubbly. Dude, I watched that movie so many times this weekend. I crack up every single time I see that movie.
What movie?
You don't mess with the Zohan.
I haven't seen that.
If he's a bubbly.
I only watch good movies. That's why it hasn't made it yet.
Dude, that was like his funniest movie.
That's why I watch Bogus Journeys. Bogus Journeys.
Yeah, seriously. Hey, the fizzy bubbly. You want the fizzy bubbly? I have the fizzy bubbly. All right. Where did you get this fizzy bubbly?
John, I'm going to hang up on you.
That's hysterical.
All right, what do you guys think? We got an instant question from the Facebook.
Go for it.
Do you want to... Lee, can I shoot you a question about intermittent fasting?
Sure.
If I can speak correctly.
I will do my best.
This is from Paul. Okay, how about this? What's the deal with intermittent fasting? Is it a valuable method of fat loss? Are there hormonal issues to consider? Would it be recommended to athletes competing in weight category events, or are the alternatives, daily caloric restriction, more suitable?
Well, okay, that's broad. Let's see. Well, first, there's different types of it. You know, I mean, there's different ways that you can do it. There's no real, like, just, this is how you do it. This is how it's done. This is how everybody does it. Some people work off of different time spans, I guess, basically. Everything from, usually when you get into the 36 hour, it becomes alternate, day fasting. So it basically keeps within a 24 to 28 hour period of time in which that you would restrict food intake. I like the method best that when you enter in your food intake again, that you do so around your training times. It helps maximize portioning. And so what you would do is, let's say you wake up at, like, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning. Because no one wakes up at that time. I don't know why I chose that time. You wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why I chose then. It's like no one wakes up at then. You wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you know, you have your workout planned at roughly like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You would not eat until, you know, right before your workout. And then you would take in something for just like a little bit pre-workout nutrition. You wouldn't want to be completely empty on that. I don't like empty workouts going into it fast unless it's very particular reason. So you have a little something before the workout, train, and then you eat the majority of your calories within a basically 2 to 3 hour window, maybe even 4 hour span of time. You could do it like that and then not eat again until the next workout. So you would span the time from, you know, that period of time until the next time that you eat. That's just like one way of doing it. There's like 1,000 other ways so that you can do it. But that's the way that you do it, where you get to basically gorge. You know, you don't eat, and then you pretty much eat everything you possibly can, and, you know, for a period of window of time, and then you keep doing it. You can also skip days. You can do one day where you do that, and then the next day you do it completely normal, like you eat normal meals, like, you know, maybe 2 or 3 meals a day, and then the next day after that you do another fasting day. It's endless. So are there any sort of negative effects to it? there can be for some people. It's one of those things where, like, you know, it one size does not fit all. Some people have 2-3 meals a day and they work great. Some people work great off of fasting. Some people work great off of 5-6 meals a day. It really depends on your makeup. If you're someone who is very sensitive to, you know, low blood sugar crashes or, you know, hypothyroid, it's kind of iffy. I don't know. I haven't really found too many people that successful, that they usually end up getting very emotional, cranky, things like that. So there's certain people that may be not great, but there are cases in which the hypothyroids have done it too. I don't want to express that can't be done, but I've seen a lot of problems with that kind of subset because there's just been so many people that I know that have done it, who have that. They usually haven't seemed to be reacting very well, but there's just different people that react to it different ways. Over time, though, there's suggestion that it could help improve. I don't know. If you want to check out more information on it, I highly recommend. There's two like real big fasting guys. One's Martin Burkham, and you can go to leangains.com and read his stuff. And there's also an article or interview I did with him, and it discusses it more. Or you could also go to eatstopeat.com, which is Brad Pilon, and he is, you know, kind of like the big fasting guy. I think it's something that you can throw in. People can do it. You can give it a shot. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, okay. I think the same rules apply to if you're going to do a fasting diet as they apply to any other diet. You got to make sure you get your protein in. You got to make sure that if you're in, you know, a deficit, you know, you're trying to lose fat, that you're in a deficit. Try and get as many nutrients as possible. Basically, it's about the meal timing. You know, it's about the meal timing. There are positive benefits of fasting, particularly for people who have, you know, gut health issues or people that have there's clarity issues, mental focus issues. There's lots of things there that can be good, but again, it's not for everyone. So I'm not going to glorify it or bastardize it. It's just one other method that you can use in the repertoire and see what you respond to best.
And also, we had Brad on the show a couple months back, or I guess a half a year ago, in episode 110. If you want to check that out, we talked. It was on Halloween. All right. You guys, I think we should wrap it up. I kind of like these shorter, more compact, more not, you know, standing here for 3 hours doing the show.
It's good stuff.
Those are nice.
Yeah. You guys are...
I almost don't know what to do with myself.
I know. What are you going to do with the rest of your time today, Lee?
I'm having some people and food over, basically.
Lots oh, you're inviting food. Some food?
Yeah, I am actually. The food is coming to me later in the day. So yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I'm vegging. I'm in a veg mode today. And I'm going to enjoy hanging out and vegging and just simple day.
Very cool. Broken Arrow is on demand if you want to check that out.
Oh, Samantha Mathis was just awesome in Super Mario Brothers. Was she not?
You know what? And the thing is that she was, they used Princess Daisy, not Princess.
I knew you were going to have a comeback. Like, I knew when I said it. I was like, he's going to totally have something to say to that.
Dude, okay. We're the Mario Brothers. Mario, and this is Luigi Mario.
Oh, wow.
Dude, nothing like John Leguizamo and friggin', what's his name?
Bob Hopkins?
Bob.
Bob Hopkins, right?
Hopkins, yeah, right?
Yeah. Man from Roger Rabbit and such.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, good choice of Dennis Hopper, man. Got the DH.
Oh, yeah. That's true, Dennis Hopper.
I didn't realize that she was also in Super Mario Brothers until you said that, but yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Who was it? Mm-hmm. Samantha Mathis.
Are you a big fan of hers?
Pump up the Bob and Pump up the Volume. Broken Arrow.
All right, that will be our double feature today. Super Mario Brothers followed by Broken Arrow. And until next week.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize she was in it.
John, I was wrapping up the show.
Yeah, but now I'm interested. Samantha Mathis. Yeah. I had to look her up, but now I remember her.
Oh, no, I had something to mention. Hold on. We will have a guest on the show next week. Nick Tuminello will be our guest on the show. So please submit questions, questions@thefitcast.com. Or if you subscribe to the newsletter, I'll be sending out a newsletter about that probably tomorrow. doesn't make sense because it's pre-recorded. All right, guys, check out Jonathan's website at acceleratedstrength.com and also jonathanfast.blogspot.com. John, will you ever update that, or should I just not mention it anymore? Like, not to sound like an ass, but I'm just really serious.
He's serious.
John, I'm serious.
That's a serious face. You can't see it because it's audio, but it's there.
You want the fuzzy bibli?
All right, from now on, do not go to jonathanfast.blogspot.com. It's being shut down. I'm going to email Google.
Whenever you do that, it makes me think of Booty Call and the guys and the... I'm sure it's like a totally different culture, but...
How do you know when you think about it, Booty Call is really kind of the...
Lick it.
It's the retelling of the journey story. It's very much like, you know, it's like the Canterbury Tales and such, where, you know, these guys are kind of on a journey. They have to keep going to all these shops to buy, you know, condoms. And it's very much like Superbad. It's the same story told over and over again, just with different subjects. Very cool.
Those are some of my favorite stories.
So. Yeah. And check out Lee at leepeel.com. No one has signed up for leplehill.com. I really recommend, if you have a web hosting service, to do so and make a funny picture as the website to
you
get
mean,
back
Kevin, at. Someone's totally going to do that now.
do you want me to register it right now before I post the show? Dude, if you ever Google yourself, if you type in my name, the second thing on the search thing is Kevin Larrabee can't say my URL.com.
Are you serious?
in the drop down box of Google. I'm like, really? Come on.
Are you serious? Oh my god, that's so awesome.
And then the picture comes up, and it's awesome. I can only imagine what it looks like when you search images. I'm sure it's in there too. So,
oh my god, like the greatest thing ever. Look at that. My work here is done.
That's pretty funny.
I have made my mark on the world. That's excellent. You know, I get visited a lot.
I should probably edit that F word out. I don't know.
Yeah, you failed. I mean, you did better.
No, well, I'm gonna edit out the swear. So.
Oh, and by the way, in Zohan, Emmanuel Kwikwi is in the movie as the love interest. I mean, Kevin, seriously.
I've heard of her. I heard she's good looking.
Oh.
Wait, I need a name so I can Google.
Emmanuel Kwikwi.
Okay, this is more off topic. So the show's over. If people want to not listen off topic,
she was. Sloane in Entourage.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Exactly.
Dude, Kevin Sloane, just, baby.
And the listeners all got to experience Kevin going through puberty. Did you hear that?
Yep.
Just like that, yeah.
No, like it just, I haven't seen, Sloane hasn't been on Entourage.
No, well, for a while.
She was on like the last episode last year, but.
She was, yeah.
Dude, Entourage comes back.
Yeah.
Next, or is it tonight?
No, is it tonight?
Entourage.
We find out.
I'm clicking it right now, dude.
Yeah.
Next Sunday.
Okay.
Poop.
I can't wait.
Dude, Vinny Chase. And can you believe Turtle is actually dating Marissa Tomei?
How funny is that? No, not Marissa Tomei.
What's
her name?
Sloane's on the front of the Entourage website.
Is she? God, I love her. I think she's perfect, actually.
Borderline perfect, yeah. Borderline.
Nah, it's pretty.
I know I said borderline, John.
Yeah, but you're Christian. She's Jewish. My mother would be so happy.
This isn't like American Wedding, dude.
That's why she's perfect.
Do you guys want to keep doing it? Are you guys done? Should we finish this up?
I've been done.
All right. That's it for episode 140. And until next time, don't forget to have your cats spayed and neutered.
Good night, Emmanuel. See?
We should just all do it together. 1, 2, 3.
You relate to your
Skype
own
has guy. Skype has lag. Come on. I'm on wireless. All right, that's it. Hello, welcome to the off-topic discussion for episode 140. Lee and John are with me, both wide awake after a exciting 4th of July.
Hellacious 4th of July.
Why's that, John?
Because it was.
It's a time of celebrating our patriotism.
Mm-hmm. When was the country founded?
1776, something like that.
That's a good man. The kids on the floor, the aides, usually we'll kind of quiz them or, you know, because most of them are exercise science majors or whatever. So one of the guys was like, oh, give us like a, you know, a history question or something. And of course I was a history major, so I'm like, you don't know where you're going, pal. And I said, all right, when was the country? First I asked them when the French Revolution was. They had no idea, but I was like, all right, that's probably for a non-history major. So I said, when was the country started? And they had no idea. That was, I can't tell you how much hurt was in my heart for that.
That's two for two after that person said that I wasn't intelligent for swearing too much. I know my American history. And I have seen National Treasure 1 and 2.
Oh.
So, that's basically like going to math class. It's like having a degree in history. Nicolas Cage.
And you're Back to the Future, too.
Yeah, that's how I get all my history from time travel movies and Nicolas Cage movies. Also, have you seen Timeline? That's how I learned all about the...
Is that the one with Paul Walker?
Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah, that was a really... I didn't even finish that, and it's rare that I don't finish a movie. Yeah, I remember that movie.
I don't know, guys. Off topic.
Are you tired?
I had a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, I'm tired. I had a whole bunch of stuff I was going to talk about, and I don't remember.
No, I saw
Transformers.
Oh, how good was it?
It sucked.
Is it? No, come on. Did you have fun, though?
You know what? The first two thirds was I was having a good time, and that last, like, hour, unnecessary hour, was what killed it for me.
So are you a boofer or are you not a boofer?
Is that some kind of sex position?
A Shia LaBeouf fan.
Yeah, I went there too.
Come on. Oh, Kyle, what?
Shia LaBeouf, the guy who, you know, is in Transformers, Even Stevens, Holes.
Are fans of him called boofers?
I don't know. I just kind of made that up.
You made that up, Kevin.
Coining a term.
Paris Hilton's wearing a shirt. She's a boofer.
I tried my best to have a conversation, and you've killed it.
So, John, did you see it in IMAX?
No, I didn't. In fact, I saw it in the best movie theater in Delaware.
Was that like a single screen?
Yeah. I mean, whoa. Wasn't that big of a kind of, like, we walked in, I was like, no, this must be the wrong place.
Was it like going to the Majestic?
Yeah.
That's a joke.
No, it really wasn't. I'm going to have to start going back to New York to watch my movies because I was like, the screen, I could be at my house.
Wow, it was that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't that great of a place, but apparently this is the best place in town. So we're driving to Philly or something. I don't know.
Huh. I got an email about someone that says they can hear birds during the podcast.
Yeah, I hear them sometimes.
Okay, I'm guessing that's me because I have my window.
It's got to be you because it's me.
And it's not John because John kills all the birds around his apartment.
Every time you are near,
just like me.
I don't know the rest of the words. Come on, Ken.
Close to you.
Oh, once again, all credibility is lost.
Yeah.
By the way, nice call on the Goodnight Canada last week in my absence.
Delaware. I said Goodnight.
Or Goodnight Delaware. That's right, you did.
Because I was thinking of you.
Oh, thanks. That's so lame that I do that. That's such a blatant and horrible ripoff of
PTI.
Pardon the interruption. Yeah, I think I actually did that because we were talking about PTI, and then I just said that, and then the next week I felt obligated to say something.
I think now every week you're going to have to pick a city.
I might. I think every week I should think of something original.
It's better than it's better than something like
a loser.
Well, what you could do is if you want to go back to ESPN and around the horn, they say we're going to take like a 23 and a half an hour break. We could say we're doing a 168 hour break.
Oh,
that's a week in hours.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that.
Go Cavs.
You are a big-brained man.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why I have to wear
those
7
swear words hat? Have nothing on me.
Yeah, we got another email about swearing.
Oh, yeah, you squared. Oh, is that the one that was in
the
show notes there?
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
It was a very angry.
Actually, we really already did talk about it, though, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
You want to just read that in the off-topic?
Do you want to do
keep that out of, sure, and then keep it out of the show so that we might be under 3 hours for the show?
Sure. I didn't put the name of who sent this in, but it was more or less someone. Oh, and they called you Jonathan Vaz.
Yeah, but at least they got the ass right. I saw that. The ASS, but the ass was correct, so that's the most important part of the name anyway.
Let's see. I'd like to ask you to take your intent further and to commit to eliminating use of profanity altogether. If Jonathan Vaz can, that sounds like vagina, I can put a post note on his computer to remind him not to say, how about doing the same as a reminder not to swear? I, as I am sure several others, do not buy into your argument that this is a discussion among friends and that this is the way friends in this age group talk and therefore it's to be expected. You're creating a public forum and appealing to people to listen to the content you provide. You have sponsors and advertising plugs, not anymore, to support the program. You are appealing to the audience to consider your sponsors' offerings. My belief is that if you were to poll your audience, you would find a greater number than a half would prefer a clean program. If someone put a review on iTunes indicating that it's a good program, but the host does not know how to control its potty mouth, how many potential listeners would choose to pass on the program? I suspect there are many that have already left. Bottom line, if your goal is to build audience and mindshare, you would be better getting rid of the profanity because it will cause some listeners to tune out. I've really enjoyed the new crew on the program. Jonathan is fantastic for his insightful advice. Lee Peel offers great practical ideas, and their contributions are very different. I've seen your personal growth and confidence grow immensely from the early episodes where you are a full contributor to all the discussions, offering your perspective, not just hosting everyone else's opinion. Keep up the good work. Cut out the profanity for all time. So that's pretty far on the side of cut it out.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you guys, but I have friends. And
I don't.
No, like when I talk with friends, sometimes we drop some S's and F's. Some F's. We're on the off topic, it's okay, remember?
Oh, you went there.
And you know what? It's because, you know, we're just... Do you guys feel like we're putting on a seminar right now?
Yeah.
Because I
actually do. I'm dressed in my suit.
Like, that's how I try to...
And I do so every week.
Yeah, John's wearing a suit and tie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing fuzzy monster slippers.
Oh.
Right now.
That's nice. What color?
Blue.
Oh.
With,
Like with Cookie Monster.
Kind of like Cookie Monster. A little bit.
The irony in that.
Really?
Talk about not eating cookies.
And Lee, shut up, John. Lee, so you also talked about this on your podcast this week, too.
Did Did I bring it up?
Use of profanity, yeah.
I did. You know, here's I don't know. You know, there's a part of me that when I read that, when I read it, I was like, oh my god, that makes me just want to cuss more. But
I hear what he's saying, though.
I hear what he's saying. I think that the comment that probably struck me the most was that he doesn't believe that it's just people getting together talking about things, because I realize that this could have a potential source of income for, I guess, any of us to some degree. But at the same time, it's nothing that I look at as a source of income. If that would happen to happen, or if people wanted to look at it in that way, that's just... I mean, and that would go to you anyway, Kevin. So I don't know. I mean, I do it because I enjoy it and it's fun, and I get to like sit here and I get to talk with people and I get to talk about things and I get to like have a soapbox rant every once in a while. And if a word or naughty word came out every once in a while, that doesn't really matter to me. The only thing that actually struck me was one of Sherry. When she wrote in and she said that she wanted to play it in her kitchen because her kids wanted to hear it, that was
when understandable.
I was like,
yeah,
and I was like, oh, damn it, you know, like she had to bring up the kids, and then and you know, then that kind of made me like, okay, well, if someone wanted to listen to it around their kids, they could, and if you know, because I, as much as I am a potty mouth, I try not to cuss around children, so you know, I usually don't do that, so. Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't get how in any way the use of a negative, bad, dirty word lowers intelligence, or that you can't be an intelligent person and use them, or that it is in no way out of touch with the culture, because I know that me and my friends all get off the occasional or frequent. But for the podcast, I mean, will I agree to cut out the naughty, the more extreme naughty words? I'm sure, you know, like a damn may come out every once in a while, but I guess any word that's not allowed on major broadcast network TV, how about that? Yeah, sure, I'll cut that out. I mean,
yeah, I think,
for the kids.
Well, I think we kind of agreed on, you know, off topic is kind of us really just warming up, and we're just casually, we really are casually talking at that point.
Yeah, there's nothing planned here.
Yeah,
no. It might seem to the contrary, but no
there is no outline. We just say, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, too, because the way that I look at it, I mean, first of all, I'm from North Jersey. I drop F-bombs like I'm a German, you know, fighter pilot over England. But, you know, the point is that, you know, for 2 hours or something, we don't have to use profanity or whatever, you know, to make a point. And I think that's what people that have written in have been kind of saying, that it's like, you know, if you need to, you know, drop something just to make a point, then you haven't made your point strongly enough in your, you know, argument or whatever. So, I mean, I just look at it as like, yeah, you know, if we're, you know, we're all friends, we sit there and we say whatever we say, but we're not necessarily sitting amongst friends when we record, and this is out there for all time. So professionally speaking, you know, it's probably in everyone's best interest to be, you know, to still put forth a professional air, even if we're not quite the most professional on the show, but at least there's still that ground, you know, work that's in place there. That's the way that I've always looked at it.
Yeah. And I think when I originally started this thing with John Williams, that was kind of we were going to keep it censored. Then everything kind of changed with that when Alan Cosgrove came on the show.
Well, yeah,
and we're like, we're not going to bleep all that stuff out. So we'll just be a little bit looser about it. But the I know we hear you, and we'll try to. I think, you know, Lee made a good point that, you know, you can't really try to. Really try to make everyone happy, or you're going to make everyone unhappy or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I do believe in that. Please, you know, try and please everyone all the time and you please no one. I do believe in that. But I personally don't think that there's anything. I don't feel like I'm sacrificing anything to not drop an F-bomb. I don't feel like that is sacrificial to my character or anything like that. And mostly I literally didn't really care until Sherry brought up the kid point. And I was like, eh, okay. So I don't really, you know, adults, if you don't like it, I don't really, to me personally, it's just not an issue, and I don't really care. But okay, fine. If kids could be listening, and if someone wants to play it in their house while kids are listening, then fine. That's my stance on it, and that's why I will succumb. I will succumb for the kids. Because everything else, it kind of goes against. I get what John is saying, and I actually really agree with what John's saying. I just have, I don't know. Any time that I have to be censored on any sort of level or feel like I can't say things, then it just, as a person, it makes me step over my words. And then I just end up umming and, I don't know. It's, to me, it just makes me feel limited. So, but I know that sounds kind of silly, but it's just a constant thought. It's not like, most of the time I don't even do it anyway. You know, it's just one of those things. So anyway, I won't do it anymore just because of that. And I think that, and I definitely see John's point and the guy's point.
All right, we'll put this discussion to rest. I don't think we need to talk about this for a while, at least. But you guys have anything fun to talk about before we get started?
I was really offended by that, the twins and Transformers also, actually.
Really? Yeah, I heard about that. They had like more or less racial stereotypes as robots.
That was actually really offensive. The only reason why I wasn't like mad is because I'd read about it before, so I was like, okay. But it was really bad. Like that made Jar Jar Binks look like the model of human decency. Like, it was horrible.
I don't think that's a spoiler. I haven't seen it, but that doesn't sound like I'm gonna get spoiled.
There are two Transformers that are like the twins, and they're Autobots, and they're basically like, you know, like black caricatures of like the 1920s, you know, like the racial stereotypes in movies. Yeah, it's horrible. One of them has a gold
tooth. You can
see
them in the trailer. They're talking in the trailer.
Yeah, they have first they start off as like this broken down, dumpy ice cream truck, and then they get, you know, like reimagined, and they're like Chevys or something. But they're like, one of them has a gold tooth. They're both like idiots. They talk like they're, you know, rapping like hip hop. At one point, they say like, "Oh yeah, we don't read too much. Like, we don't know how to read, like, and stuff like that." It's just horrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
They've gotten a lot of press. Like, you can Google it, and it's like everyone's talking about
it.
But I was like,
them.
Yeah, like, you know, a lot of times, like, I'll be like, "All right, everyone, you know, maybe it's blown out of proportion or something." No, no, not in my opinion. That was pretty bad. I was. It's shocking that things like that get through. Like, someone came up with that as a good idea, and someone else said, "Yes, that is a good idea. Let's go with it."
Surprising, no one, you know, rose any flags when.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Because they always pre-show these weeks before they come out to audiences to see what they think. Like, they're showing the G.I. Joe movie right now to people, and people are saying how horrible it is, but.
Ah, it sucks.
God, oh, really? Because I was really looking forward to that.
No, like, they've had to bring the movie back and re-edit the whole thing to make it somewhat comprehensible. So, yeah, it's not good. Well, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Punch-Out does the same thing. Punch-Out has a guy named Disco Kid, who's a dude with an afro who more or less has, like, he sounds like a gay dude who likes to disco.
Nice.
So, Nintendo.
I'd never seen anything that tops Speed.
Speed.
The bus and Speed.
Oh, the wide demographic of people.
I think
on the
they
bus.
Nailed every single stereotype they could possibly nail in one bus ride. I mean, you have the like Mexican construction worker.
Yep.
you have the loudmouth out of towner tourist. You know, I mean. Like,
Cameron's,
I mean, you have, what is it, the quiet Asian mom. Like,
I just don't have a line in the whole movie.
You got it all. You got it all in that one. So, yeah. But that's interesting about the bots.
Yeah, so it's incredible. And I'm all for, like, making fun of everyone. You know what I mean? Like, me and my friends are ridiculous. Between my school and just my friends, it's like the United Nations, and we just rip on all of each other like no one's business. But when it's actually put in mainstream media or you know, entertainment content like that, then it's someone saying like, no, 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 this is, it's, there's a difference between, again, it's kind of like what we were talking about with cursing, right? Curse amongst your friends, that's okay. Curse in a podcast where children might be listening and we don't know because we don't have control over who hears what. You know, my friends make fun of me, I make fun of my friends. We're all good with each other. We grew up together. But when I put that out there and think that everyone else thinks it's funny too, that's not acceptable because it's, you know what I mean? Like I know my friends, that my friends know me. It amazes me when people put things like that in a movie and think, well, everyone will find this funny. No, they won't. I don't. So it's, I don't know.
I think too, if you're doing something like that, you're making a really big statement and you've got to be careful because it's the Transformers. Mm-hmm. Everyone is going to watch that, you know, or at least the majority speaking. And you have a point in time in which that you get to make a stand of or a commentary on society or on a race or on a gender or things like that. And how you choose to do that, that does mean something, you know? And so no, I agree. That's pretty out there.
Well, they've sold $200 million in tickets, so
yeah.
No surprise. I'm you know, and I'm sure that I'm not a PC, like I am not a PC person, obviously, but there are, I think you have a responsibility when you're reaching that kind of an audience with a, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I know that it's an adult movie, but at its heart and in its core, it is a kid's movie, you know.
But 50% of the people that bought those tickets
to the adults.
Were kids.
Yeah. And I think that you have an obligation to set a good tone for whatever race or gender or, you know, what if they had a, I'm just kind of surprised with that. I think that's kind of surprising. I don't know. I just think that's surprising.
Yeah.
You know, someone died while we were doing the podcast last week too. Billy Mays.
Really?
Yeah. While it was being recorded.
Yeah.
That's very possible.
Well, that's what, like, it, as soon as we were done, I saw that it was announced.
But, that's, they're dropping like flies.
Steve McNair last night, too, or yesterday.
Yeah, football player. Yesterday.
He got shot in the head.
Aaron McNair.
Wow, I didn't know that.
All right.
You ended the off-topic on death announcements.
Well, actually, you know what? I'll finish off saying Stargate Atlantis Season 5 out on DVD right now. Awesome. Really good stuff. It's the final season of Stargate Atlantis before the movies come out, so make sure to check that out. Get it at Amazon.com. What up?
Word.